aren't you? Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We'll read a verse or so in just a moment or two. Glad to have you here this morning. We trust that you'll be edified and uplifted in the things of the Lord. And whether you're a regular member here, an occasional attender, or a friend that has dropped by, we appreciate your faithfulness to the house of the Lord this morning. Well, the preparation for our forward by faith giving that we'll be doing beginning March the 15th, going through Easter Sunday in the year of 2022, I want to bring to you a message that I've entitled Growing in the Grace of Giving. Growing in the Grace of Giving. Now, this message isn't going to specifically talk about what you should give or how much you should give. It isn't even talking about whether it should be a love offering or your faith promise or your tithes or offerings. It's not going to be about that at all. It's going to be about just this idea of growing in our giving. And I think that oftentimes we fail in this area of believers, in this area of giving. We see here that the Apostle Paul puts a very strong emphasis on giving. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. And let's look here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We'll read one verse for the sake of time this morning. The Bible says 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Let's read it again. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our knee and our heart to you this morning, Father, we pray, Lord, that this passage of Scripture and the teaching and preaching of your word today would, Father, just be a blessing to us. Help us as we look at just the totality of giving today, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts and challenge us, Father, and do what only the Holy Spirit can do in our lives, that we'll be molded and changed, Father, to be what you would have us to be in this particular area. So, Father, we do love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. And, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look at this passage of Scripture here in verse number 8, he says, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So if you think about that, if you don't happen to read verses 1 through verse number 6, that you might begin to wonder, what grace is the Apostle Paul speaking about? Well, Paul, in the context of speaking speaking about the example of the churches of Macedonia. And in this passage, he deals with really the excuses that many people attempt to have when they do not give. We'll not take time to read these, but in verse number 2, he kind of takes away this excuse. I just can't afford to give. In verse number 3, I just can't do it. Then verse number 4, we find another excuse that people often have for not giving, is it won't make any difference anyhow. That little bit that I have to give is not going to make very much difference. And then verse number 5, people say, it's all about money. That's all they ever talk about is money, money, money. Well, we don't really talk about money that often, maybe once a year, if you're lucky, so to speak, or maybe twice a year. But you know what? I guarantee in your household, you and your wife talk about money probably on a weekly basis. Maybe it's a lack thereof. Maybe it's a saving thereof. Maybe it's the paycheck that you just received. You talk about money probably a couple times a week, but yet in God's house, it's normally only once or twice a year. So I want us to think about this thought of growing in this grace of giving. This grace that Paul was referring to, of course, is the grace of giving. Giving tithes, offerings, love gifts, faith promises to the Lord, and even given above that as well. Notice the context that the Apostle Paul puts this grace of giving in. He noticed the importance of it abounding and going beyond even the normality of what normal people would give. Notice he places an equal importance on giving with these words. Look at our text. With faith, and faith just means trusting in God. Utterance, that's preaching or teaching God's word. And he says knowledge, that's studying God's word, or that word diligence, working for God, and love, which is the essence of God in our lives. The Apostle Paul puts this grace of giving in line with faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, and love. And it's as if Paul is telling them, those Philippian, churches at Macedonia, and those Corinthian believers, and telling you and I today that it is just as important as these other areas in our life. But yet we don't always elevate it to that same position that the Apostle Paul. Basically, I want to ask two questions and give you a couple of answers this morning. First of all, as we think about the growing in this area of giving, the first question that might pop to your mind is this: why give? Why should I give? Well, that's a pretty good question. I've got a couple of answers for you. If you're taking notes, number one, notice this: giving makes me more like God. When I give, it makes me more like God. When I think of John 3 and 16, the first part of that verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." I can't think of anyone that doesn't deny this fundamental truth about God, that God loved us so much, and that love of God motivated us, him, to give. And that love that God has for you and I ought to motivate our giving as well. And as Christians, we ought to be an example to those around us. And Christians equal Christ-likeness. And so if you want to be like Christ, if you want to emulate Christ, guess what? We're going to have to abound in this grace as well, this grace of giving. If we want to grow to be more like the Lord, it means growing in this grace. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, we find these words: "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Why should we give? Well, we ought to give because giving makes me to be more like God. God loved, he gave. We love God, so we should give. But then number two, notice this: giving draws me closer to God. Giving draws me closer to God. In Matthew 6 and verse 21, we find the Savior says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If giving was important to God, why would he spend so much time in his word talking about giving? You know, he speaks more about giving, more about money, more about finances than he even does about heaven or hell. And our attitude about giving reveals a lot about our spiritual growth. And most of the times when people complain about giving, it's because they're still spiritual babes in Christ. They're still spiritually immature. They haven't have enough faith in their life to trust God in this area of giving. And we come into the world little selfish human beings. If you think about that, you'll know it's true. A baby cries, doesn't care about its mom or dad, doesn't care about the babysitter, doesn't care about grandma, grandpa. They know that they're hungry, they feel something down below, they need their diaper changed, they scream, they cry. They're feeling a little lonely, they cry and cry, they want to be held, so you pick them up and hold them, and babies are selfish. But as we mature, we learn that life isn't about us. Or we like to think we learn that life isn't about us. All of us know people who think life is all about them and not about anybody else. But the same is true for us who love Christ and are Christians. We are born again by receiving. We understand that God loves me. God died for me. God wants to bless me. But then as we mature and discover that the Christian life isn't all about us either. At first, we think it is. Oh, boy, thank God, he loves me. He died for me. I'm saved. He wants to bless me. But as we begin to mature in our walk with Christ, we understand as we look out and see others around us and see the need of other people, we begin to see, and prayerfully you do, and understand and know this morning that this life is not all about you. And as we grow in grace, we learn to give, because we become closer to God's heart when we give. You want God you want to draw closer to God? Listen, you do what God asks you to do. And Paul says that this grace of giving is just as important as those other graces that he's listed there in that verse for our admonition. And he speaks about that wonderful grace of faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence and your love to us. And he said, "See that ye abound in this grace as well." And oftentimes, we're more worried about those other areas of our life than we are about this area of giving. Well, we see that giving draws us closer to the Lord. You know what? I could just think of this illustration that when you have little children or your grandchildren are with you, nothing my children love to do any more than this, than to put offering in the offering plate. Every Sunday night, I look over here at Sarah and Jonathan and their two children. They run each other over to get to the offering plate. If they're there and they're coming here first, they literally don't. They say they run all the way to the edge, and William about knocks her over, and Annalise about knocks him over to see who can put their offering in the plate first. I say, glory to God, amen. Why do they do that? They get joy out of giving. Plus, they get to get out of their pew for a few seconds. That probably doesn't help. But, you know, the same is when we put our tithes and offerings and love gifts and faith promise in the offering plate as well. You know, I get joy when I can take my check and fold it in half and place it in the offering. That brings me great joy. Not that I'm anybody, or neither are you, but I love the Lord, and boy, I want to be a help and a blessing to Him. And it seems like when I do what God asks me to do, it draws me closer to Him. I think there's a third reason that we ought to give, because giving is an antidote to materialism. Giving is the antidote to materialism. We find that Paul tells Timothy this. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You see, materialism today is destroying families in America. It's destroying families all across the world. We focus on things instead of people. And my friend, that God tells us that He'll take care of things in Matthew, but He wants us to take care of people. And so we find that money is not the root of all evil. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So having money is nothing wrong with that. And I thank God that God has entrusted some of you with a large amount of money that you're able to do with it what God would have you to do. And those that don't have it, maybe we just need to get down on what God would have us to do with money. Well, why give? Well, I think another reason is this, because giving strengthens my faith. Malachi 3 and verse number 10 says this, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that it shall not be room enough to receive it. Now you think about that. As we give and understand Malachi 3 and verse number 10, he says this, bring your tithes into the storehouse. And by the way, according into the economy that we live in today, the storehouse is the local New Testament church. And God says, bring it to the church. And He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, just trust me on this matter. It's a matter of faith in this area of giving. Just like you had faith in what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary and trusted in His finished work on the cross and His death, His burial, and His resurrection, providing our salvation. It's the same faith that says this, that I'm going to give because God tells me to. Giving strengthens my faith. And besides that, God said, if you'll give, He'll pour out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. You say, well, that never happened to me. Well, maybe your giving hasn't been up to what the Lord would have you to do. Listen, you come to a Wednesday night prayer meeting, I can guarantee you, at least every other week, someone has says this, that God had met this need financially, or this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and I'm looking out, and I'm thinking to myself, you know why that happened? Because they give, and I don't know who gives and who doesn't give, except for me and my wife, but I do know this, that it seems like people have their needs constantly being met, are the ones who take God at His word and understand Malachi 3 and verse number 10. Faith is taking God at His word and believing the promises in God's word. Well, I think there are some other promises God gives us concerning giving, and I think it's this. Giving is an investment for eternity. Giving is an investment for eternity. In 1 Timothy 6, and verses 18 and 19, Paul again is writing to that young pastor Timothy, and he uses these words. They that do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Understand this, that Paul was telling Timothy, things don't last, and they aren't even meant to last today. It used to be that we had a day and age when Donnie and I first got married that if a little appliance went bad, we'd take it to a little repair guy, and he would repair a blender or a mixer. Now we don't do that. What do? We chunk it in the trash, maybe recycle it, jump on Amazon.com and find the cheapest one, have it shipped in 2 days, and we're good to go. You see, things aren't made to really last anymore. Everything today is meant to be replaced, and I think perhaps this is kind of like a conspiracy theory that they want you to replace so you can buy another one. They don't want it repaired for a few dollars, but more and more today we're living in a throwaway society. Think about it. What have you thrown away just recently that maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you would have tried to got fixed or you would have sold in a yard sale? Now you say, just ain't worth it. Just throw it away in the trash. You know, just this week I did that. I threw something away, and I thought, man, this is still a pretty good thing, but who wants it? It's not even used anymore today. And I thought, man, that's pretty surprising that I would throw something away that's still good, but nobody really wants it, but what am I going to do with it? I just throw it away. We live in a disposable society. I think of this, the one thing that's not disposable is the souls of men and women and boys and girls. They'll last for all eternity. Not only the souls of men and women last for all eternity, but how about this? As the Apostle Paul says, the investments that we make, those things that we send up ahead of us, those works of faith and love that we do that will be able to go through the fire and be burned as wood, hay, or stubble, remain as precious stones, and we're able to take and cast at the Savior's feet. So the question I have for you, are you making those eternal investments for the Lord Jesus Christ? Then I think something else is this. Giving brings personal blessings. Giving brings personal blessings. Dr. Luke writes in Acts 20 and verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Listen, that's not speaking about socialism, by the way, just in case you think that. Don't let them socialist communists tell you any different. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I find it very interesting that this is the only place that this portion of Scripture is recorded, but yet it's still true. He said that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, the benefits of giving far outweigh the price of the gift that we have given. In Proverbs 11:25, the Bible says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And so we find that the writer in Proverbs is telling us, listen, that you'll be blessed by your giving. And if you water, you shall be watered also himself. Here's the truth. We can never outgive God. Listen, he owns everything, and nothing you can do can ever outgive God. And then that wonderful verse in Luke 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So listen, according to God himself, he says that if we give, he'll give back to us. But here's the key. He says the amount that you give is going to be measured back to you again. So I don't know about you, but I want my rewards in heaven to be great, that I have more to give to the Savior. So the more you give and the more you do down here, the greater that will be. Here's the truth. We should never give just to get. We should never just give because we think, well, I'm going to get back. And I might miss it here, but I'm going to get back in eternity. But understand this. There are blessings that God promises if we'll give. So our motive should not be, I'm going to get later on. Our motive ought to be we give because we love Jesus Christ and he commands us to do so. Our lives will be blessed beyond measure. Well, first question was, why give? The second question we'll answer very quickly is, how are we to give? How are we to give? I think we ought to give willingly. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says this, every man according as he purposed in his heart. You see, that's the key. We ought to have a willing heart. Giving to the Lord is what the Apostle Paul was speaking about here. Ungodly men have twisted this to say, you just give whatever you decide, and that was going to be fine with the Lord. No, I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I believe that we ought to give with a willing heart. Paul's not specifically talking about the amount he would have you to give. He's talking about the attitude that we have in our hearts. Turn back in your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. Go ahead and turn back there. It's not going to be on the screen. First Chronicles chapter number 29. The Lord was good. He puts all the first and second books all together. So if you found one, Chronicles is closer to the New Testament. First Chronicles chapter 29. And look at verses 1 through 9. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 through 9. And the Bible said in 1 Chronicles, beginning in verse 29, the first verse, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold and the things to be made of gold and the silver, the things for silver, and the brass for the things that are brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and diver colors, and all the manner of precious stones and marble stones in an abundance." Does it sound like God's house is going to be a beautiful place? Verse 3, "Moreover, because I have set my affections to the house of God." Here it is, the attitude of the heart. "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house." So what's David saying here? He said, listen, I'm the king. He said, I know that God does not give me permission to build this great place of worship for him. But he said, I gathered all those things that are necessary for that. But then he said he went a little bit over and above that. He said, because I have set my affections to the house of God, I have my own proper good. He said that I gathered all the things in the kingdom, and I got it already. But he said, because I love God and love his house, I have gotten my own gold and my own silver and those things that to build the house of the Lord. And it goes down, verse 4, "Even the 3,000 talents of gold of Ophrah, 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls and the houses thereof." Jump down to verse number 9. "Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered," what's the word, "willingly." You see, it's an attitude of heart, because with perfect heart, they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So we see that David said, I gathered all the stuff to build the temple and get the temple ready, but God did not give me permission to do it. He said, but because I loved him, I gave of my own gold, my own silver, I gave that. And all the people said, we love too, and we want to give from a willing and a ready heart. We ought to be able to give willingly to the Lord. But then I think something else we ought to give thankfully. In Psalm 116 and verse 12, the Bible says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" And then we find in Matthew 10 and verse number 8, "Freely you have received, freely give." You see, our giving should be with an attitude of thanksgiving for what God has done for us. When we give our tithes and offerings, our love gifts, when we give next month to our Forward by Faith building campaign, we ought to do it because we have freely received from the Lord and we are given thankfully back to him. The psalmist writes in Psalm 107 in verses 21 and 22, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." You see, refusing to give back to God because what he has done for us often indicates that we have an unthankful heart. When we refuse to give our tithes and offerings, our love gifts, our faith promise into other areas of giving to bring God honor and glory, that souls might be saved and born again into God's kingdom, our failure to do that oftentimes indicates really how unthankful our heart is. And the question that I have for you this morning is simply this: how thankful are you for what God has done for you in your life? Well, we ought to give willingly and thankfully, but then notice this, we ought to give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, the last part of that verse said this, "So let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Not grudgingly really gives us this idea, not with grief or with sorrow. A necessity means in distress or against our will. So God says, listen, I love a person who gives not against their will, not in distress to give. I love a person that gives because they love me. And God is looking for those who will give with an attitude of joy in their heart. But then notice, fourthly, we ought to give expectantly. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. By this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We should give expecting a harvest, not because we deserve it, because God promised it to us. We shouldn't give to get, like the Name and the Claim It crowd on TV, but expect God to do what God said he would do if we follow his pattern of giving. And this is what Paul meant when he wrote about how he purposed in his heart. He said, I'm going to give because I love God. I'm going to give thankfully. I'm going to give cheerfully. And I'm even going to give expectantly. And when we give, we need to give with the purpose of expecting God to take it and use our gift to be a blessing to others that have needs in their life. Well, as we close, giving is an important value that you and I need to build our lives upon. Giving is getting closer to the heart of God. You say, why do you say that? Because God gave his only begotten Son. And the scripture is filled with examples of great givers in the Bible, but none of them even come close to the Lord Jesus Christ, where he gave his life on the cross for us. And if we seek as a body and seek as individuals to draw closer to Jesus Christ and our personal relationship with him, we ought to build our life on the principles in accordance with biblical values. And we need to be reminded of the importance of this grace also. Paul said this, that ye abound in this grace also. I trust and pray that you are. Father, we love you this morning.